Hey guys. We're just starting right into it today. If you're wondering about this delightful music, this is from a little online video game called Mission Majority at missionmajority.com. This is apparently a Republican thing where they've decided we're going to, I don't know what the goal is really, but well, here we go. There's a picture of an elephant who's wearing a red headband and an American-themed onesie tank top thing. His name is Geopy, like G-O-P. This is what's really fun about Mission Majority, is it makes no sense to the casual politics person. So who this is for, that's an ongoing discussion here. But hi, my name is Geopy. I'm one of the GOP's best volunteers for the 2014 midterms, and I'm here to show you how we can win back the Senate. There's going to be a lot of red tape and regulations in our way, but we need to overcome them in order to succeed. At the end of each level, there is a link that will bring you to a site where you can support Republicans in real life. Ready to get started? Great, have fun. Great, comma, have fun. So, this is a game, a platformer like Super Mario. I'm going to click Let's Go. Now, it does want you to log in with Facebook or Google+, or you can just enter an email. And great news, you have to do your first name, last name, and email, and it doesn't seem to actually check or make you verify this email in any way. So, you know, if I say my first name is Officer and last name Jack Offerson, and I say O.J. Offerson at gmail.com, and submit. Hey, guess what? Welcome, Officer Jack Offerson. We're in business already. That was very easy. Currently logged in as Officer Jack Offerson. We're ready to play this game. It's been too long since I've recorded this. I'm very giddy with the possibilities here. So I'm going to go ahead and play the first level. So here's level one. This is a golden key. It shows a picture of, you know, an old-timey key. It's going to unlock the Senate and help Republicans win the majority this fall. Each key represents helping a Republican campaign get more volunteers. With every key collected, you win more points. We need as many volunteers as possible. Each level has three keys, and you need to collect every key in a level to advance. So just to be clear, there are keys, and this represents, again, it unlocks the Senate. Each key represents helping a Republican campaign to get more volunteers. Okay. That's a pretty one-to-one comparison there. A key represents helping a political party. Sure. I mean, isn't it simple enough to be like, this is the key to victory? I don't know. And there's also, this is the taxer. Now, the taxer is a white sheet of paper with feet and angry eyebrows. This is the taxer. Harry Reid and President Obama sent the job-destroying taxers to stop you. You need to avoid them. Jumping on top of them suppresses their high taxes. So, you know, I guess there's like a jumping on top of the taxes mashes them down, see? Because we want taxes down, not up. This is something I've learned about politics. If there's one thing I know, taxes down, not up. My keyboard controls here. Right will allow me to run to the right. Left runs to the left. And up or X is jump. So let's play level one. Let's see. Let's just see what Mission Majority has to offer. It seems to be having trouble. Oh, okay. I'm on a grassy landscape. I have 9,999 seconds. Oh, there's a taxer. Oh, shit. Well, that's my jump noise. And that's a key.
You don't have to pass an IQ test to be in the Senate, though.
Now, it does these little quotes when you jump on the taxers.
Not even a smidgen of corruption.
Not even a smidgen of corruption. I think that was Obama. I recognize that voice. Oop, I got hurt.
You don't have to pass an IQ test to be in the Senate, though.
Now, these quotes...
If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor.
These quotes are, like, horribly out of... I don't really even know... When I first started playing this game, I didn't know if these quotes were Republicans talking about why Democrats are bad, or if it's Democrats saying dumb shit. I'm still not entirely sure.
And I think he does struggle under that sort of broad competency umbrella.
Okay, I passed the first level. And then you get to see a big American flag. And that seems to be it. So now I can play level two. Ooh. Level two features the mudslinger. Democrats' mudslingers hurl false and empty rhetoric. You can jump on them to mute their misleading words. Okay. I like these bad guys. I mean, this is so ridiculous, this game. Not even because of my political leanings, which, you know, obviously lean towards the, I don't know, the not Republican. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't want to get too political here.
Mark Pryor could run a perfect campaign and lose.
See, I don't even know what that was. I don't want to attack Mission Majority from a political standpoint, because that's pointless. Obviously, this is like a, you know, you could call it a propaganda tool, like doctor, but, I mean, it's shit. You will be able to keep your problem with this is it's a horrible game.
A perfect campaign and lose.
And also, here's what I don't understand about Mission Majority. I'm going to die because I want to see what happens when you die. You know, I want to know what's in the... I can't die. There we go. Oh, when you hit something, you stay invincible for a very long time. Like, I'm still invincible. Still invincible. Okay. It's 37 seconds. Let's see how many seconds I stay. I think it's like 10 seconds you stay invincible. 7. 8. 9. See, like about, you stay invincible for like 10 seconds, which is a long time in video games. Oh, it just says game over, try again, and goes wah wah. So, and now it's frozen. That could be my computer, though. Here's what's really dumb about Mission Majority. I mean, besides the obvious, it's like, what you've done here, fellas, is you've created a video game that pretty much proves everything that people think is bad about your party. That you're like horribly out of touch old white men. Because this game sucks. I mean, the game is shit. And it's, you know, there's something to be said for lacing your, lacing a game with politics, let's say. You know, you could say that something like a Call of Duty or a Modern Warfare game is like pro-war or something like that, which, maybe. But it's like, it's not quite so clumsy. Excuse me. Unprofessional. This is the kind of thing I would learn in broadcast school, is not sneezing on the radio. You could say that these other games have an agenda or whatever, but this is, like, just crazy, right? I mean, that's... Oh, jump on the taxes to make them go away. And then when you jump on them, it's got these insane little quotes that you can't even really understand. But, you know, that's my thing about Mission Majority, number one, is it's just a crappy game. It's a very cheap game. It's shit, and I don't think a lot of time was put into this. You know, so as a... My sense of gaming is offended. And I'm not as sophisticated. I can enjoy a shit game. But not this shitty. Not that shitty. But here's the other thing I want to know about whoever had this idea. Who is this for? Because this is like a question I have. Because, you know, I've got this new sort of personal campaign against the idea of marketing. Because I think marketing is mostly bullshit. I really do. I read this thing. I can't remember. It was an author, though, who said basically marketing ruins everything. Like, when you write a book or do something great, the problem is then you have to take it to a room of assholes who are like, how are we going to market this? Which is bullshit, and you should never let someone do that to you, because their fucking job is to market things. It's not your job to make your thing so that it's marketable. It's their job to figure out how to market your thing. I mean, if it doesn't fit in with their normal marketing schemes, great. then you're just going to have to figure out how to do it. That's how this works. Anyway, if you're studying marketing or you're a marketer out there, prove me wrong. But until further notice, I'm putting you on notice as being evil assholes. So anyway, the question I would have for the marketers of this is, who is this for? Because, all right, let's throw out immediately, like, little kids who don't know any better. Because, obviously, they can't vote. So that's pointless, right? And also, I mean, I don't know. I guess certain political parties or affiliations aren't above using children to, like, make their point, right? I mean, you always see that, what's that crazy church where they're like, gays burn in hell, soldiers, gays burn in hell and stuff? They always seem to have kids on their little protest lines and shit. But, so it can't be for kids because they can't fucking vote. Okay, let's move up to the generation that's about 18 to 25. This is only going to prove to them that you don't know what you're doing with technology. Because you've made a complete crappy game that's got arbitrary score and no real point. So how is that going to work? How is that going to convince them that you guys have ideas about... Do you think that these quotes are going to be like, ah, yes, now I understand. Now let's move into a new generation, like a middle-aged, 40s, 50s. I mean, these people... have probably played some casual games and that kind of thing, I would say. There seems to be a lot of, you know, candy crushing and farmvilleing going on amongst this group, who they don't seem to be as much into the platformer. And again, they're not. The problem with that group is your political message is so overt that it's like, I don't think that a lot of people who are sophisticated enough to understand that there's things going beyond just an elephant moving around a screen are going to enjoy this or even bother with it. And in fact, that's the group that's probably using this to make fun of you because they're saying, look at this idiotic, way too overt, way too simplistic, crappy thrown together version of a game. I mean, look at this. This is the latest shitty attempt to make something happen. And then finally, we've got like the oldsters. Now, maybe this is for the oldsters, because maybe what this does is convince the oldsters that you guys are like trying to make something happen, that you are making an effort to create media for the young, right? That you're like reaching young people. Is that kind of where we're headed here? Is that kind of what we have going on? That's all I can think of. That is the only thing I can think of that makes any sense with this. Anyway, that's Mission Majority. That's my political stance right now, is so far I'm leaning Democratic in the upcoming election because although the Republicans have thrown the first volley in terms of election video games, it was a horrible attempt and basically insulting. You know, if someone threw me a dinner, they're like trying to sway my vote and they're like we want to get helpfulsnowman.com on board with our politicians, our political stances. And they threw me a dinner and I came over and the dinner was they cracked open a Lean Cuisine and threw it in the microwave. I'd be like, well, obviously you don't really care, right? You don't actually care. You just thought this would be an easy way to convince me. Basically, you think I'm stupid. I'll make a Lean Cuisine for myself, no problem. But for you to invite me over to do that, I could have done that at home. You could have just sent that to me in the mail, packed in a little dry ice. You know, they just put a special label on it. It's totally cool. And then I could have done this myself. And that's kind of what this game is. This is like more insulting than nothing. That's how I would quantify this in a sentence. How did I find this game? More insulting than no game at all. There you go. How do you like them apples? So far I'm voting Democrat, I guess, because the Republican Party has made a terrible video game. And I can only imagine the deluge of crap emails or Facebook things if you chose to connect this with your Facebook. I can only imagine. I don't want to do that. I just, as much as I like to have fun with Facebook and think it's just a complete crazy time, I cannot handle this. So while we're on the topic of politics, I did exercise some of my rights this weekend, my new rights as a Coloradoan. So, of course, that means smoking the tweed. Now, this is a weird spot, and I guess if an employer or a future employer is listening to this, I should make something very clear. I did this mostly, actually, to write a column, a freelance column, about doing so. But here's what's weird, and what you probably might not know if you don't live in Colorado, is like, it is legal to buy and smoke marijuana. As the law is concerned, that's fine. However, it would seem that employers can still drug test you, and if you test positive for weed, you know, not hire you. So that's kind of a weird thing, right? Like, how does that... That's a little bit like saying abortion is legal, but if your boss finds out you had one, they could fire you for it. I mean, that is a gross, obviously a gross over whatever, you know, that's taking it to an extreme. But it's like saying, you know, oh, okay, you've got your free speech right. So you went to protest a political rally. And then when you got back to work at Subway on Monday, your boss is the opposite affiliation. He's a big fan of the GOP game, the missionmajority.com. And so he finds out you were protesting and says you're fired. You know, they can't do that because you're on your time and you did exercise your right. So anyway, it's a weird right, not right, because it would seem that you can still be fired. Now, I haven't heard of this happening because my suspicion is... We're one court case away from someone saying it's legal to them saying, well, yeah, you can't have an employee policy. You know, as long as you don't show up to work intoxicated, you can't have an employee policy that's basically in direct violation of the law, right? Like, I would think that would be a thing. But I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I am not a doctor. Whatever. Here's what I know. For future or present employers or whatever. You know, I did this on a Saturday. I was at home. I didn't operate machinery other than an Xbox, which is, you know, I think designed specifically to be operated while high. I think that was the biggest innovation, was you could turn it on from the sofa. So I went to... So anyway, I just want to say that though what I did may be against some policies, I did it in a totally legal way and safe, and would not have had any effects by the time I went to work, right? So this is the same as, I mean, essentially, from a legal and physical standpoint, this would be like firing someone for having 3 beers on Saturday night when their next work time was Monday. I gotta say. At any rate. So I went to the dispensary, which is, here's a great thing about this town. I live in a town that was, a dry town for a very long time. Like, seriously, kind of embarrassing how long we were in the dryness. And what they did in order to make sure that we could still get booze here is they basically a little tiny... island. It's almost like the width of the island on the freeway or something. And it's its own town called Garden City. Now, this is where none of the rules apply. So when this was a dry town, basically what you would do is drive 4 minutes to Garden City and you could get crunk. This is also where, you know, despite laws to the contrary here in town, they have like a gentleman's club or two. This is also where the laws about pawn shops don't apply. So apparently this town has laws about pawn shops that dictate they must be X amount of miles apart from each other. You know, they can't be within such a distance. However, in Garden City, you could just have pawn shop, pawn shop, pawn shop, which is what they have. And finally, you can have a weed store. So I guess this city is like... somehow not wanting to have a weed store. So Garden City has like 4. Which is, this is fine with me. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what to say. Essentially, this is the same town. I don't know what the big problem is. But whatever. So you go over to Garden City, which takes 1 minute, and you go into the place. Now, here's what's weird. You go in, and it's a little bit like, you know, here's what I like about the legalization of weed, okay? There's still certain seedy elements to the whole thing that I think some people thought maybe, like, once the legalization happens, the seedy charm of marijuana will be gone. Do not fear, my friends, for that is not true. There are still plenty of weird, seedy, uncertain elements going. So if that's what you're into, don't worry. You still have lots of options. So you go into the place, and you're just in this, like, tiny waiting room. You know, and the building is kind of like this prefab crappy. If you ever went to a school that had, like, an add-on building where they were just like, well, here's what we need is a little add-on building that would be destroyed immediately in the event of a tornado. And we'll put the first graders in there because we haven't invested as much time in, you know, we don't want a fifth grade class to die because we've put a lot of work into those fuckers already. So let's put a first grade out there. So they throw a first grade. That's the kind of building. You go in and there's two sides. There's a medical side and a recreational side. I don't really know what the difference is. I think, and I'm not an expert, that medical, you may have access to different types or something, and there may be different laws about how much you can have on you at one time. See, this is another thing about the medical or the recreational thing. You can have weed on you, sort of. Weed's a lot like booze now. So here's the thing. I can have weed from the weed store on me, but not open. I can't just have like a little baggie of weed. They put it in this bag and staple it. We'll get to that. You know, so like booze, you can take booze home from the liquor store, but you can't open a bottle or a can, which is a weird law because technically, like, let's say I take a bottle of whiskey that's half finished over to a party at someone's house. I mean, maybe this is a part of growing up. There was a time in my life where that would have been appropriate, and now that's not. So now that I think about it, maybe it's okay that there's like an open container law that would prevent me from bringing an open bottle to someone else's house, because that's not very classy, right? That's not an adult way to live. But, you know, so much like that, I guess that's technically illegal, so whatever. And you can't just, you know, you can't drink just walking down the street. You also can't just smoke walking down the street. And in fact, you can only drink basically on your own premises. So that's your house, your porch, your backyard, that kind of shit. As far as I know, there aren't any weed bars yet. There may be, I'm not an expert again, but, anyway, you go into this prefab building and there's the medical side and the recreational side. And they can only let so many people into each side at one time. So you wait in line behind the people who've gotten there first, which is now basically just a lobby. And they actually had some pretty comfy chairs that I was quite jealous of and wish I had for my apartment. So we sat there, and I would say that almost everyone there seemed normal. Very normal. And not like crazy stoners. You know, there weren't people pulling up in hippie vans outside. It was like regular people. Exactly the kind of cross-section you'd see like at a liquor store. And it was very casual. It didn't seem like people were nervous about it or anything. There was one exception, which was a guy who seemed real out of it and was on a mobility scooter. And based on scent, had definitely peed himself. I mean, unmistakably had peed himself sometime in the recent past. And I thought maybe he was going into the medical side, but he, you know, went in the recreational side, which I was like, all right, fair enough. You know what I noticed, too, is funny about mobility scooters? Because I saw one there, and I saw a mobile wheelchair at this outdoor event. By the way, I was at this, like, back-to-school, you know, they have this back-to-school fair at most colleges where it's like, oh, yeah, this is where you could join a club or get involved in whatever. And someone proposed marriage to somebody else over the loudspeaker at this club fare. So it's like free hamburgers on the east side. At 2 o'clock, this band will be coming up and we have an announcement. Kara, will you marry me? Now, I don't know if this was real or not. If it was, I hope she said no, because that's really sad. But my hope is that it's sort of fake, and maybe this is like the fun thing this couple does, is go to places that would just be awful to propose marriage and propose marriage to each other over and over. That seems fun. Anyway, scooters. So there's a mobility scooter at the dispensary, and it was called something like a Zoomer. Or, you know, an all-star. And the one at the college fair was called, like, a Pro-Glide or something. Astro-Glide? I don't know. And it had a backpack attached to it, too. It was like a sit-up wheelchair type, and it had a backpack that had the same logo and clearly came with this wheelchair. Which made me first say, they know that people are just going to hang a backpack off this wheelchair. How come they haven't come up with something better than a backpack? But then also, why do mobility scooters and wheelchairs have names like, you know, Freedom Express? Not even that, though. They're like, you know, the Lightning and stuff like that. They have these names that sort of don't explain what they do and also seem to be mostly a trick. Mostly like, this is a name that we invented to try and trick you into thinking this is awesome, but obviously, that's not going to work because you're in a fucking wheelchair or mobility scooter. So, you know, I'm pushing for a naming convention that goes more with normal names. So you wait at the dispensary. They call your name and buzz you in. And you know what's really strange about being buzzed in? I've been buzzed in at like two kinds of places. Schools, because schools have gotten very paranoid about strangers coming onto the grounds, which is hilarious. Because it seems like most of the school shootings are perpetrated by students. This is a completely ineffective way to stop people from shooting each other at school, but fine. I mean, they got to do something. And the other place is when I was a kid, you had to get buzzed into the roller rink. Now, I don't know why. This wasn't a particularly dangerous rink, and in fact, was in a very, you know, it was on the far west side of town. Which is the exact opposite side of town. There used to be two roller rinks, Warnoco North and Warnoco West. And North was the ghetto. And I was never allowed to go there and never skated there. West was like the fancy schmance. But, you know, you'd go up there, you'd buy a ticket, and it was like, and they would buzz you in. So they had to buzz in all these like 12-year-olds to get in, or like 6-year-olds going there for a birthday party, who had the Fisher-Price roller skates that didn't actually roll. You just kind of step over and over on a wheeled shoe, where the wheels don't actually wheel. They just move slightly forward and then stop. So you're just kind of walking awkwardly across the floor. So this is who's being buzzed in. So they get buzzed into the weed place. And then kind of what happens is you know, there's different salespeople behind the counter, and you talk to them. Now, they seem like weed salespeople, although they are, you know, fairly clean cut, and they're dressed in a t-shirt type uniform, where I think the shirt was tucked in. As soon as you start talking to them, they're clearly weed people, which I guess makes sense, because, you know, I want them to know what the fuck they're doing. But at the same time, it's weird. You know, you can't buy weed without hearing about like an aura or an essential oils class or something. You know, this lady that I bought from was telling me about how she had slept for 14 hours because she had experienced some kind of essential oil. Not a drug, just an odor, I guess. More than anything. So, you know, I asked for this writing project I was doing for a certain kind of weed. And she's like, oh, you know, it'd be perfect. Green crack. Now, all the strains still have their original names, which I have to say is like going to be, that's going to be a thing for the weed industry. Because I'm telling you right now, when like a weird conservative senator is fighting against you, he's going to say, oh, so you think it's appropriate to sell strains called Green Crack? Or how about this one, Montana Thunderfuck or whatever? I mean, there was one that was really called something like that. You know, biochem biodiesel or whatever. It's like bio dog Kim Diesel. Kim dog bio diesel, whatever. Like, these are not names of things that... These are not respectable, like, liquor, I think, kind of tried to go the other way, right? And be like, oh, Drambuie. That sounds like a classy thing. Bacardi. You know. And then once it was established and they couldn't be taken away is when they're like, we'll be called Four Loko. Or, you know, Fireball. But at first they were like, oh no, we will be called Jägermeister. I mean, Jägermeister, and if you didn't know what it was, sounds like, oh, that sounds nice. Classy. Even the some of the malt liquors, your Old English, they put an E on the end of old, so it's like ye olde English, like the font. Everyone says, oh, like the font. Well, that's got to be a classy drink, but turns out that also like the font, it's mostly for gangsters to put across or in their stomachs. Never really realized that parallel before, but there you go. So the names are a problem. Here's another sketchy portion. You can purchase with like a debit card, which I'm assuming a lot of people don't do because they don't want to have it on any kind of bank record that they purchased marijuana. But again, it's totally legal. And even if your company has a drug policy against using, you could still buy, right? So when you purchase, though, it goes by a system they call a cashless ATM. And so, you know, the purchase I made, she's like, well, if you have a dollar in cash, then I can round it down to this amount. Because for every X amount, the cashless ATM charges you X amount on top. So, you know, if you bought $35 as opposed to $36 on the cashless, it costs less. It's very confusing and very sketchy. And I, again, these are the weird charms that are, don't exist in any other place I've been to, but are thriving in this industry. So if you were worried that you wouldn't get to have a little bit of an experience where you think, I don't know about this, don't worry, it's alive and well, and you will have that opportunity. So I bought a couple things. I bought just some regular, like a bud, and then two vapor pens, which I highly recommend. These are disposable vapor pens. They cost like $12. And all you have to, you just open it and you just pull on it like a cigarette. The end lights up. You pull the weed inside of you and breathe it out in a small vapor. It's basically odorless. And, you know, you could do it inside and no one's ever going to know. No one's going to smell it, whatever. So if you lived in an apartment or something like that, you'd be fine. Little tip as well. My landlord confided in me when I moved into my new apartment because she asked, you know, are you a smoker or anything? And I was like, oh, no, I really don't. I've never really been a smoker. And she's like, yeah, you know, it's tough now because I can still say people can't smoke cigarettes. But once weed was legalized for medical, I guess there's some trickiness about telling people they can't smoke weed in their apartment, because if you had a medical license for it, my understanding of what she said is that she can't tell people they can't smoke it inside, because that's like saying you can't use your medication in your own home. So, you know, she's like, now I go to a place and it's just full of weed smoke, but I can't really, you know, and obviously I know that what's going on, but I can't really do anything about it. So that's just a little tip for you if you're living in an apartment and wanted to stink it up with weed smoke. So anyway, here's another tip. You buy the stuff, and what they do, they put it in this large, sort of a medicine container, but it's black and it has a green cross on it. It's like a Swiss Army knife, but green. So I guess that you know, it's like, this is sort of medicine, but sort of also weed. Which is, I guess, like if a liquor store had a, you know, this is a medicine, like it's kind of sad. I don't think that weed needs to continue on this medicine path. Maybe they just have medicine supplies they're still running through. And then they put it in a bag that's also like the bag you get for a prescription. Now, here's what she told me, but didn't tell me. So they staple the bag closed. And this staple means that it's a closed container, so you can transport it, you could take it anywhere in the state. You know, you could walk down the street with it, you can have it in your car. As long as it remains stapled, you're in good shape. And she puts one staple in there. And she was like, now, if someone were to open this and then just use a mini stapler to restaple it, I don't know how they would know that that had been done or that they could prove that it wasn't stapled at the fucking marijuana store. Which, by the way, if someone wanted to do a business venture, get a great, some kind of custom staple, some weird staple that only the marijuana stores have, or it combines a staple and it presses a seal into it or something. That would be smart. But anyway, yeah, and so she's like, so you could just get a mini stapler and put it in your car if you wanted to. It was weird because it was like, I always thought it was strange that people had such a problem with the drive-through liquor store. I mean, I have a problem with it because it just seems very fucking lazy. It's like, you can't get out of your car and walk 10 feet into the goddamn liquor store. Like, not everything needs to be a drive-through, okay? Be like if they made, when Blockbuster existed, if they made that a drive, like even the Redbox doesn't do drive-through. You walk up to it, you know, and they could do a drive-through easily, but they don't. Although that might be another great business venture, so just keep that in mind, Redbox. But, you know, I always thought it was weird that people had such a problem with it, because I'm like, I think most times if people use the drive-up liquor store, it's not because they're like, I need to drink and drive. Like, I don't understand how that's more conducive to drinking and driving than walking into the store and walking out. You still end up in your car and drive just as far, you know. But it's like at the weed store, she's telling me how to basically game the system. And I'm like, listen, I can make it home before I smoke this weed. Like, I do not need to be like, well, I need it right now and I need to do it in the car. I mean, I guess it's handy because if you went to, let's say, a concert or something, but whatever, just get the amount that you need for where you're going to go, smoke it, and then it's done. Okay? You don't need to transport it back. It's like the liquor bottle thing again. I think that despite the law, I would probably be willing to transit because I believe an open container is a misdemeanor and not a huge deal. So if I hadn't had a drink that night, I'd be pretty open to like, I'm going to throw a whiskey bottle in my trunk, even if it's open. But if I had been drinking, I probably would pass because I'd say, I don't want to create a situation here. So there you go. If you haven't been smoking, the trouble of transporting it open is probably less of a problem than if you have. So once you get high, it's time to use up what you've got or get rid of it or just share it with somebody. Who cares? I mean, the vapor pen is like $12. So there you go. So I got high for the project. I have a column. It'll be live the end of this week on Lit Reactor. And it's about whether or not smoking weed helps my writing process. Because, you know, people are like, expand your mind and whatever. Spoiler, it did not help me at all. I had one test that was about motivation, you know. So would smoking make me more motivated to write? And it turns out it did not. I gave myself the option. I had to spend 5 minutes and decide during that 5 minutes how many times I committed to writing versus how many times I thought it would be a better idea to watch Cosmos on Netflix. And Cosmos won by 7-2. And there were also 2 votes for doing absolutely nothing. Now, underneath Cosmos, I made an argument to myself to watch it, which consisted of the phrase, it's a space-time odyssey. You know, I should do that because, hey, it's a space-time odyssey. Which I thought was very brilliant until I realized it was the tagline of, it's basically Cosmos : a space-time odyssey. So the next day I was like, oh, that was not as clever as I thought. I also felt a little nauseated. I think weed is not my drug, guys. I don't know if there is a drug that's my drug, but I'm confident that it's not weed. I did enjoy some foods this time. I went to the candy store. I went to 2 candy stores in anticipation of this and got some normal and weird candies. I got some jelly beans. I got some, basically what are koala yummies, but they're pandas. So that's even better because everyone knows a pandas better than a koala. And then I also got this Japanese box that had these mini donuts on it. You know, there's like a little pink frosted donut. There's like a sort of a bundt cake. And then there's one that's even shaped like a delightful bear. And it says, Happy Kitchen. That's the only words in English on this entire fucking box. Happy Kitchen. And the rest is all, and I think it's Japanese, but I don't know. Yeah, it's Japanese. Okay, so I say, all right. I open it up, and there's this plastic tray and bags of powders. Now, there's no indication to me on the front of this box that there's powders and whatnot. Just these delightful-looking donuts. On the back, however, there are instructions that do have some pictures explaining how you turn these powders into donuts and then frosting for the donuts. Now, it comes in this ingenious little tray that's got two donut molds, sort of a bathtub, a place to mix the frostings, and then a little measuring cup for the amount of water that goes into the frostings. So, after much trial and... Oh, and it has a little shovel in it that you use to stir everything. So, after much screwing around, I sort of ended up with facsimiles of these donuts. When I say donuts, I'm being extremely generous. I'm here to tell you now that these were horribly gelatinous goo bars in roundish shapes. The frosting seemed okay, because probably frosting, you know, a powder mixed with the water is probably what frosting usually is. However, dough, I don't think, is one powder mixed with water and that turns into a gel. Now, it was obvious these were going to be a gel, but I sort of thought they would solidify over time. But, and maybe it's entirely possible that the directions were not followed to the letter, as not a single one of these letters is a letter that I would recognize, or I wouldn't even know how to translate this, because I don't know, I wouldn't be able to draw, I mean, there is a letter on here that appears to me to be a music note. I'm not even kidding. It appears multiple times. There's a heart that is in brackets of some kind. I mean, this is insane. There's different colors, but I don't know if that indicates anything. I ate two of the donuts, a chocolate and a non-chocolate, because I thought maybe, you know, I ate the chocolate and was like, that was horrid. I mean, when you eat this, you chew it into just a wad. And then as it becomes a wad, you just swallow the entire bolus. A whole. It's one piece that you swallow. It is not like you know how in eating, generally you chew a thing. This breaks it into smaller pieces, which you swallow. This is how normal human eating works. With these, you chew it, and that just mashes it into one wad that you swallow all at the same time, using all of your strength. I don't know. This is my biggest endorsement for marijuana. I don't know if I could have done that sober, because I think I would have vomited. Because it was like eating... it's like how I would imagine it is to eat a live octopus. Slimy, it's resisting actively your swallowing of it. I just don't picture it working, right? It was awful. So here's my advice. If you go to one of these, you know, they have these fancy candy stores that are always staffed by like the most uninterested people who also sort of seem like they think you're going to steal. If I'm going to steal, I'm not stealing from the fucking candy store, okay? I busted my ass to spend $19 there. And that includes I got some prepared shredded dried squid that I plan to put out at my work's break room just to see, because I have this theory that people will eat absolutely anything that's in the break room. So I want to put it in a little bowl with the wrapper next to it and be like, for sharing or to share! Exclamation point, smiley face. Anyway, including buying things that are purely for novelty purposes, I couldn't spend $20. What am I going to steal there? If you go to one of these candy stores, though, they have a delightful selection of foreign weird candy, and I highly recommend getting something. Because why not? I mean, how many Kit Kats can you eat before you just want to try a Japanese thing that has just a picture of a fruit you've never seen before on it that may or may not be a grape. But I'm going to advise that you pick up the box and turn it over and make sure that it doesn't have directions on it. Because if it has directions, just understand that you're in for a project as much as you are a thing. An eating experience. I did have a last thing I wanted to do on today's show. I ordered online a pair of fancy men's underwear. Now, this came to me airmail from Australia. Someone's ID had to be recorded at some point. And here's what's really nice. You know, it's got a sticker on the back that says customs. It had to be declared what was in there. And detailed description of contents just says underwear. And that it was, $15 or whatever. Which is nice because I get all my packages delivered to my work. So a bunch of people saw it, said underwear, and wrote, what the fuck, seriously, but really, ... Lots of punctuation on these. And also, there was like a dangerous goods and aviation security statement. The sender acknowledges that this article may be carried by air and will be subject to aviation security and clearing procedures. And the sender declares that the article does not contain any dangerous or prohibited goods, explosives, and that's spelled with two S's, explosives, or incendiary devices, which I said, not yet, this underwear doesn't contain an incendiary device, but it's going to get hot in here. So let's unbox this live on the air. Now, I bought this, I have a thing that I need to write for Nailed magazine, and I thought some expensive underwear is the perfect topic to write on. Because, men's underwear, as evidenced by the thing, is not really a fancy schmance kind of thing, usually, right? So here it is. It's just in a plastic. It's called Moss Man. It's got a tag attached to it. It feels nice. Seems nice. I'm excited to don these. Shows a guy on a beach. The Moss Man Australia design team knew they had to fracture the way the world viewed and purchased men's boxers and briefs, and in doing so, fill the gap in men's underwear market, which called for something different. With its seamless stitching, thick waistband, soft model and lycra blend, and high color fastness in bold colors, the classic collection has garnered attention across the globe. With Moss Man, you'll want to flaunt it, flash it, wear it, love it. So there you go. Oh, I could win a competition for 1 year's worth of underwear. I don't know. I wonder how many underwear is considered a year's supply. Because maybe they're like, well, yeah, one. I don't know. This literally has a ribbon tag that's safety pinned to it. So I don't have to rip it. So this is foreign underwear, specially designed for fancy men's underwear use. And I will use it and write this little article about it. And I will let you know how it turns out. Whew, I feel like we covered a million things. This is what we get for, not covering shit very well for a few days, right? We have way too much stuff to cover when it comes back around. But we'll get to some more. We've got more and more shows coming up for you. Thanks, everybody. Quickly, if you were wanting to edit the Unsent Love Letters, if you wanted to get a copy to edit and you have not, when you're hearing this, you need to let me know so I can get that to you. Send me an email, petesunsentloveletters@gmail.com. No apostrophe in Pete's. I'm aware that that's not correct English, but fuck yourself. And for the rest of you, also fuck yourselves. And we'll see you next time.